Hello everybody, my name is Ken Fallon and you're listening to HPR Community News, a look at what's been going on in the HPR community for the last month. Today joining me from top to bottom is...
Ahuka.
Dave Morris.
Ira Huff.
Ken Fallon.
Christopher Hobbs.
Welcome folks. So, traditionally we introduce new hosts, and because I butchered them so much, Ahuka decided to do it this time.
And it is a pleasure. I love having new hosts come in and add to our happy family here at Hacker Public Radio. So this month we're going to welcome Alec Gregorian, Asipater, Shane Shannon, Bob Tregelis, Curtis Adkins, and Jay Robb.
Welcome everyone. It's nice. I really love it when there's a good month like this where we get a wedge of new people in.
Yeah.
And Dave Morris was saying that we were at a low ebb.
Yeah, I know. Me of little faith, I know.
There you go. What we were referring to, of course, was if you go to the HPR community, our HPR calendar page, we now are mapping the shows as they come in. So actually, let's talk about that right now first before we go do the rest of the stuff. So the web address is hackerpublicradio.org/calendar.php. And what we're doing now is we have a running list graph of what the queue is. Since last month, and this has been the first month, real first month of when community members decide when exactly they want the show posted. So in your upload, in the upload show notes, you will state when you want your show posted or... you know, next available slot or backup show or whatever you wish. And that means your show, as soon as I process it, it is released on that day and available. But that allows us to plot exactly when the next free slot is, and the graph has the number of hosts in the queue, which I find the most important, and the number of shows in the queue. So if you compare the number of hosts in the queue and the number of shows in the queue, it is more or less a 2-to-1 ratio between the number of hosts we have and the number of shows we have. And then we have the famous red line that goes up and then comes down, 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 down. So it was at a peak of about 17 shows, and then it went down to a low of 2 shows in the 2 days to the next free slot. Even though we had loads of shows in the queue, thanks Ahuka. The point is that we do have free slots available. So if you look at the queue, we see that we're quite full now. We have Modern Inconveniences from Christopher, who's on the call. Deep Geek's interview done in by Epicanus, not Epicanus. How I Manage My Contacts by John Culp. Impressions of Magia by Frank Bell. LibreOffice by Ahuka. What's in My Bag by Mr. Gadgets. What's in My Bag 2 by Curtis Atkins. See prompt to those of you on IRC. How I Find Linux by Sun Zufman. Frank Bell presents HPR to his lug, which I'm looking forward to because we all kind of contributed a little bit to that presentation. And How I Got Into Linux by Jay Robb. What's in My Bag Again by Christopher. And then there's some free slots until Ahuka's shows. And Ahuka's shows are spaced out, coming out every fortnight. That's 14 days for you colonial people. And... and they're spaced out, I think, up until December. So that's good stuff. So if you're worried about the queue, just have a look there, and then you can see exactly when it comes out. Or if there's a particular day that you want to reserve, you can also do that as well. So without further ado, anyone any comments on that or not, or shall I just keep waffling?
Well, just I encourage anyone listening to this, record a show and put it up on the schedule. It's not hard.
Yes, please do. Speaking from only having recorded a couple of shows after that first one hit, it was pretty addictive, and it's nice to have a platform to speak. So yeah, very easy. Please record shows.
I'd be interested to know from you actually what the what we can do to improve the whole get shows up process.
I think it's pretty simple. I think I need to improve what I'm doing, as we've had some back and forth. I've not quite had the best recording setup, so audio formats and things have not been optimal. I think maybe the show notes on the FTP server differed a little bit from what was presented on the site, but I'll see what I can do to compare those. But otherwise, it's a pretty smooth process.
Okay, fair enough. The only one stumbling block, of course, is that you need the FTP credentials and you need to upload FTP. That's the only way of getting a show to us at the minute. I had some stuff in my backlog. I'm looking at 4 free days off, last 4 days of the holidays / vacation for the kids. So my choice is to spend quality time with them or do the FTP upload form. So you will know by next community news whether I'm a good father or not.
Take care of the kids, Ken.
Yes, that's what I'll do, all right. Anyway, I think we spoke about this last month, but we agreed to stop at a particular point. With the new recording schedule, we don't know exactly when this shows are going to come out. So we're going to do it by just month chunks. And 1282 was My Home Med Recumbent Bicycle by John Culp, which was released on the 2nd of the 7th. And this has got a whole go of photos that go along with it, a whole gallery, and it was really, really interesting show. I like these mechanical engineering ones coming into the queue.
Yeah, I just love, John has done several shows that I have just thoroughly enjoyed, and two of them are in here this month that immediately come to mind. He's good.
I enjoyed listening to it. It made me look at building my own rather than spending $3,000 on buying one.
$3,000?
That's about the average price for recumbents right now.
Wow. Okay, that does make sense.
I think it was a great listen, too. I'm a bit of a bike enthusiast. I've always spent some time repairing and flipping old vintage bikes, and it's always good to hear about people getting their hands dirty with bikes rather than seeing them as pieces of disposable equipment.
Yeah, excellent. The following day we had myself with the last talks from Odd Camp 11, and I think we were talking earlier about lessons learned, and this was a lesson well learned by me to record, edit shows, and post them as soon as possible after an event. Anyway, we'll move on. Less said about that, the better, I guess. Then we had Jezra with the Blather speech recognition conversation. Done again by John Culp.
Yeah, he's done a couple of things with Blather, and it sounds very interesting.
I love this. I'm a big fan of home automation as well, and this is definitely on my list of stuff to do. He's obviously got a reason to do it, which is repetitive stress injuries and stuff. But I just love the idea of, you know, coming home and go, computer, make me a sandwich. Can't do that. Sudo, computer, make me a sandwich. And I'm actually working on another project, which you may or may not hear about it, with Jonathan Nadu on using some of this technology in trying to get that into Sonar as well. Then we had this guy keeps sending us in shows and shows after shows. He never shuts up. LibreOffice 6 by Hookah. And speaking of Sonar Linux, I'm going to be doing a special dyslexic template for dyslexic people, obviously, so that the character spacing is right, that the font is right, and then saving that as a OpenOffice template. So I will be referring to your episodes again. As I've said before, there is no reason why people shouldn't just take these, burn them on a CD, and whenever you get a crap document from somebody in work, just here you go. Here's the CD. Listen to it. We shall never speak of this.
It's fun doing them. I'm sort of feeling like I want to wrap up LibreOffice Writer for this, at least this first pass, and start moving on to some of the other stuff, get into Calc and Impress, and maybe come back to Writer for more advanced topics later.
Yeah, I am seriously thinking that, you know, this should be a DVD series or something. You know, this is like just gold.
I am planning over the winter, and I think you all know I had worked out with Ken ahead of time that during the summer, I get involved with my garden and various other things, so that's why I built up all of these shows ahead of time. In the winter, when the snow starts falling here in Michigan, that's really all I have to do all weekend is work on this stuff. So I'm thinking I'm going to try and learn how to do screen captures and maybe start throwing some things up on YouTube.
That's exactly the one thing that was kind of missing from this series. Yeah. You know, if we, and of course we're spoiled here with the Linux and the shell, you know, the blog and this and the full write up with screen captures, and then he's got the video and everything, you know. So I kind of I love the audio component of this, but sometimes I think I just like a little overview of what you're doing, maybe a key screenshot or something. We can always put that on the website up here as well, just so you know.
Yeah, and I do have, for every one of these that I've done, there's a corresponding article on my website that has screenshots.
Oh, come on. We need to link that in.
I thought I did.
Not directly into the website, no. Anyway, let's clean all that up. I'll take that on. Not a problem.
I mentioned the website in the show notes, but because the way I do these, I can't just turn on a microphone and improvise. So what I do is I actually write everything out first and store it as an article on my website, and then I'm essentially reading the article when I do the recording. So that way it ends up actually making some amount of sense.
All right. I'd love to see those. Ahuka, that would be great. I tend to sit in front of my PC whenever I can when I'm listening to your episodes and try and, you know, track through what you're telling me. I find that really good.
Well, ahuka.com.
Right. The site. I'll be there.
All right.
Actually, you bring up an interesting point there. You know, we've got the What's in Your Bag, you know, How I Got Into Linux series, and there's the What's in Your Bag series. Right. What actually might be handy for the more longer-term podcasters is how you record a podcast how you as a person approach the task of doing a podcast. I think that might actually be quite interesting for a lot of people, including myself.
I could put one of those together.
I'd love to see a series of those for someone like me just getting into it. It'd be really useful to see how you prepare yourselves. I tend to do mine just off the cuff, and I think it shows in the low quality of what I produce.
No, sir. No, it doesn't.
Well, thanks.
Okay, moving on to the next day, which was 2186, Dave Morris, 78, another guy you can't get to shut up, and this time he was on about iCalendar hacking.
What can I say?
No, it was, I am being facetious here, but that was, aside from the fact the reason you were doing it in the first place was because of me, but I found it very interesting, not least of which because right here is the reason that there is no Linux hasn't won on the desktop. It's because of calendaring, not so much email, very much about calendaring. The Outlook calendaring feature has not been bested by anyone anywhere at all. And to be honest, and this is going to get us the explicit tag on iTunes, it is crap. Every single calendaring application on Linux, bar none, is crap.
Yeah,
there, I've said it.
Yeah.
And you know, none of the companies developing Linux right now at this desktop know that because they don't use it. None of the developers who have gone to university and they don't have to deal with the managers and the meetings that all the rest of us have to deal with. And if that was sorted, that would fix the Linux on the desktop, because when they got that sorted for Android, then all of a sudden everything was available. Admittedly, people will say, okay, I'm going on a side shoot here again that I've been on before, that WebDAV works. WebDAV now allows you to connect into Exchange and present it as IMAP, but there's, on the Linux side, there is no good calendaring application. None.
Yeah, probably the best is Thunderbird, but that's pretty poor.
Crap as well. Absolutely crap as well.
Yeah, no argument here.
Nobody arguing with me on this.
No, we're all behind you.
God, that's a first. All right, anyway, Dave, very good show, very interesting, and I had hoped for more at the beginning, not because of your investigations, but I had hoped more from the open standards of calendaring. It just seems to be like people have given up.
Well, the thing that puzzles me is that the iCalendar standard has got a hell of a lot in it. It's very, very powerful, but nobody seems to have completely implemented it, or even implemented it well, as far as I could see, anyway. It wasn't I didn't investigate that deeply, but everything I looked at looked really rubbish.
Yeah, it's more important that we all work on getting a new X server and swipe interfaces and unified interfaces and phones that turn into desktops. Sorry, the Ubuntu swipe thing is going on at the minute. And it just struck me today, right? In my use case, if I put a phone in and it becomes my laptop and I want to stand up, go for a little walk, ring my wife, what am I going to do? Disconnect all my SSH sessions and everything, or is it going to continue working in the background or whatever? Anyway, don't get me started on that. Right, moving on, or we'll be here all night. HPR community news. That doesn't deserve any commenters.
Keep moving.
Nido Media gets Ken to go camping to OHM 2013. And that event is now over, and Nido did a fantastic job doing interviews on the FM station that they had there, one of which I attended, and they ended abruptly when we all had to evacuate because the field tent we were in was about to collapse.
Fun of camping, eh?
I skipped over the camping bit and drove home every evening.
That sounds like a good idea. Was the FM station being streamed? Because I tried to find it and I couldn't.
I don't know. It was not really.
It was linked on the OHM site, but I couldn't get anything to listen to it.
Yeah, to be honest, the only thing that I did there was it was just super, super hot and I had shut down. Okay, moving on. The following day was JWP with short Xen update, which I thought was really, really cool because I had heard the Xen return to the fold attempts, and Valiant attempts as maybe. It was nice to hear somebody else in the field giving a real-world update on what the state of power virtualization is at the minute in Linux.
Absolutely. Virtualization is just becoming more and more important. I work at an enterprise IT, and a big part of what we do.
So the following day was 5150 with a excellent multi-system Thumb Boot Creator podcast. I don't know if you guys have used this, but I did, and I had a 16 gigabyte drive, which I cannot find now for the life of me, and it has got multi-boot on it, and I've got big distros, small distros, and yeah, it's a really cool little system, albeit a little bit in French.
I marked this down because it's a project that I've been meaning to do myself. In fact, I'm looking right now at the thumb drive that I wanted to do that on. It's sitting on my desk, but I just haven't had the time.
Yeah, same here. I've got it. Must. It's on my wish list.
Yeah, it's kind of cool because you have, if you carry it around with you, then you got this, instant system that was, that's pretty awesome. Anyway, moving on. Parsing ISO 8601 formatted duration fields with Perl. Now, this is what I love about HPR, because nobody can stop you putting up shows. If you record a show, you can put a show on any immensely boring topic that you like. And I think we won the prize for that, Dave. What do you reckon?
Yeah. A bit long was what I wrote down here. But I enjoyed it, but I'm not sure anybody else had, did. But
I do.
I loved talking to you because as I said it in before, and I'll say it again. Like I was been stumped by this processing this field all day in the Perl, use the term loosely, script that I was writing, and I fired off an email to Dave, and then he goes, "Oh, sorry, I'm busy," and then I have lunch, I have dinner, and then I come back, and Dave has first draft of it done, and I didn't know whether to laugh or cry because it worked. He had figured it out in about the 20 minutes that I take me to eat dinner. And then I was just so depressed at the beauty of your code. Damn you, Dave. Damn you.
Yes, well, you punished me by making me explain it for an hour and 20 minutes, so that was okay.
I thought it was great. I absolutely loved it. Perl was my language of choice for many years, and I've moved on from then mostly due to professional job offerings, and it was great to hear something about it again. I'd like to see more development podcasts, and I don't know, I may try and put some together, but sometimes it's hard to talk about that sort of thing without visual aid.
Were you able to follow it at all?
Certainly, yeah. Having Perl knowledge clearly helps, but yeah, I was able to follow it. I think it was clear.
Good, good.
I would actually like people's feedback on this, because there have been lots of people who have said to me, I want to do something on this programming language, but I don't think it'll be appropriate for the audio medium. But I think if we were at least able to communicate something in this episode, then it would be interesting to know if that's something I can say, yes, you can do this, or no, you can't. So feedback, please.
Definitely. It's worth exploring and coming up with a good format. There's so many video options for learning programming and for presenting programming topics. If you think about it, people give talks all the time at conferences and while they're standing in front of people. Even sometimes the audio from those helps. So find a good way of explaining and then provide examples and show notes. It might be useful.
Absolutely. Cool. And if anyone wants to try, feel free to continue on. Speaking of people who are bringing education to the audio medium, is Charles in NJ with the Doomsday Reminders.
Remainders.
Doomsday Remainders, yes. Sorry, my dyslexia coming in there. And that makes a lot more sense, actually.
Yeah, it is. I love what Charles is doing, these shows about mathematics. Actually, stimulated an idea of something that I might do, because I used to teach statistics. I was thinking of doing something about polls and how to understand what's going on with them and why they work the way they do.
I dread these shows every single time, because I know at a certain point he's going to hit the absolute maximum limit that my brain can handle maths. And every time that he does the show, he's like so close to the edge. You can hear the scraping on the, it's like a steel on a grinding wheel, but I've still managed to hang in there. His show notes definitely help.
Yeah.
But a great series. I hope it continues.
I like math, so you know, it's kind of in my wheelhouse anyway.
And then we had Chris's Week of Freedom. That's why I reckon you're on here, so that we won't say anything bad about your episode.
No, I just happened to get the message but about the community news. But I was astounded by the volume of feedback I got. Just piles of email of people asking all kinds of questions about it, making recommendations. It's been wonderful. And I've created a follow-up episode, and I've finally acquired a netbook, and I've gone totally free at this point, waiting on an SSD to show up on Monday so I can void the warranty on this, and maybe I'll do a podcast on how to break your EPC.
Cool. Adding to the list. What list? I have no list. There is no list. This was your introductory episode, wasn't it?
I think I may have done one before this one. I'll have to go look. I think this was my second.
Yeah, you did pair programming. Yes, pair programming first. That was also a good episode.
Thank you.
So, moving on. Actually, on your, you got a lot of feedback, did you?
Yeah, I probably got 10 or 15 emails. That seems like a lot of feedback to me.
I've got two emails in my entire time recording HPR. So, yeah. Maybe I think you've already exceeded my low barrier of entry. That's why I'm here, folks. I bring down the barrier, so you all look good. Okay, and ever a little more serious, 1294, Causes of Schizophrenia and Neurochemical Theory by Sigflup, who is another person who shows also scare me. Because sometimes they're so technical, and then sometimes we get an insight into her life that you just want to go and give her a great big cuddle.
I'd love to meet her.
Yeah, she seems really interesting. This, I actually listened to this podcast 3 or 4 times. It was different. It was really interesting. There was a ton of really good information in it, and having the music going through it, just was really intriguing. I liked it quite a bit.
Schizophrenia sucks, I think, is what we can say at the end of that.
It's frightening, the sort of view that you have of mental issues and how, you know, there aren't really... There's no understanding of what these things are. That was the message I took away. You know, no, people are just throwing ideas at it and hoping that something works. And if you're suffering from it, it's very, very scary.
It's important that she's talking about this.
Yes.
I really think that we need that more, because a lot of times people who have mental illness of some kind, it's like, you know, just go off somewhere by yourself and don't want to hear about it. And you should. That's wrong.
That's a good point, actually. No, I think the fact that people are much more prepared these days to talk about these issues is opening doors that have been closed for a very, very long time. There's a guy... Sorry, go ahead.
No, I've nothing to add other than that she's talking to friends, so I hope that helps.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You were saying there was a guy?
There's a guy on, I think, doing a thing on Indiegogo, I think it is. He's doing a tour talking about dealing with depression. I've forgotten the guy's name now, but he got himself funded to go to various conferences to talk about his experiences with depressive illnesses, as a way of talking about this issue and just, you know, making it public, and so that other people who suffer similarly can also join in and understand more about it. I've funded him because I really sympathize with that, with his position.
Good. If you can give me a link, obviously we'll put that in the show notes, yeah?
Yep, we'll do.
Okay, Ahuka, I'm not going to fan your flame of fantasticness anymore. So this is writer heading styles.
Yep.
And the following one was 1296 Intro to Campfires by Pokey, who starts off the show notes saying, I always felt a little awkward in social situations and looking for a way to get over that feeling. He basically did the fire and stuff. And I think this episode, I really enjoy this one, not only because I love fires myself. There's something about having a campfire and that sort of thing. But he also gave excellent, excellent, excellent tips, and not least of which was pass behind the people, not in front.
Yeah, I think the number one, I was kind of surprised when he said that, you know, he always felt awkward, because he comes across, listening to him, like fairly extroverted kind of guy, but it proves you don't know. The other thing that struck me is that he said something I think important, and that is, by finding a way to contribute, become a valuable member of the community, and people want to have you around. I mean, that's like I will get invited to some parties where I'll end up washing dishes.
Just every
because someone needs to.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, every Irish person knows that the best session is always in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. But yes, I would completely agree with you there. I was actually surprised myself that Pokey would have issues. But then again, hey, he's dealing with, you know, here he's talking to a group of, you know, like-minded geeks, I suppose. But I do know exactly what he feels. I have a neighborhood barbecue coming up, which isn't going to be a barbecue in an American sense. It's going to be basically people standing around drinking wine. And I'm dreading it, I must say.
Yeah, because in an American barbecue, it'd be people standing around drinking beer.
There you go.
I think the take-home from this episode is, in generally uncomfortable situations, just keep yourself busy, and that'll help the rest of it flow.
But it was a good episode on how to start campfires. Don't get me wrong. We need more of as well. Okay, the following day was NY Bill. We're taking far too long on this episode. But there was a whole go of good shows this month. Not that there wasn't every month, but yeah. It's nice to talk to them about... nice to talk... blah, blah, rebooting. Hold on while I restart my pulse audio. Anyway, There was a whole go of good shows this month, not least of which was Mobile Hack Spacing, What's in My Bag by NY Bill.
Kind of becoming a series for us.
It kind of is. It started by Dave Yates, actually, and a good series.
I really dig the idea. I've got one coming up as well, and I hope all of the hosts do it, because I guess it's a little bit of voyeurism, but it's interesting to see what people carry around with them every day.
Not at all. I did one as well. It's a good filler show, so you can keep them in your back pocket if you need to upload. But it's also handy where you think, oh yeah, that's really handy. I never thought of carrying that because it is useful. So he's got surface-mounted components. He's got like a whole hackerspace here in his bag. And I had no idea that NY Bill was so hardware-centric. And if I was maintaining a list, which of course I'm not, I would be adding some to-dos here to hardware-related shows and that sort of thing. Have you seen the pictures?
The pictures were great. I like that. Yeah, gave me lots of ideas about doing something similar. If you've not got lots of little tools that members of the family say, where are the screwdrivers that I can open this thing with, and you never know where they are, well, I'm going to put them all into a tool bag now and carry them around whenever I need them.
Two notes on that. At OHM 2013, I soldered for the very first time, which is good because I got a soldering iron. And with the advent of Raspberry Pis, I felt it's something that's been missing in my hacker section. But one of the things that we did for the kids here was get them a real toolbox, you know, with a real screwdriver, hammer, small little hacksaw and everything. And that has been absolutely brilliant thing to do.
My daughter's about to head off to university next month, and we've been talking about things she needs to take with her to be more self-sufficient. And I have been suggesting to her that she, you know, have a set of screwdrivers and a pair of pliers or, you know, something like that. She's coming around to my point of view.
No, absolutely. And duct tape, of course.
Of course, yes.
And the next day, recording a HPR using Audacity, Nido Media. I'm very glad somebody did this.
Yeah, me too. Audacity is what I always use.
Yeah. I mean, there was this discussion in the mailing list, and Frank was going to do his HPR episode, and I advise people not to use Audacity to record shows. Just use an external audio recorder, because it's a lot easier than Audacity. You have a single track, and you press record, and it records, and then you press stop, and it stops. But there's just so much that can go wrong with Audacity just getting it working on what is a multi-purpose, complicated device. Your powerful device, as maybe your laptop. But, yeah, I don't know.
I thought it was immensely helpful. I've been using GarageBand, and I used Audacity in the conversion to free software here, or back to, I should say, and that podcast was immensely helpful. The last three I released were not recorded with Audacity, but I've got some in my pocket that I'm looking to touch up, but it was useful. I do like the idea that you just mentioned of using an external recorder. That may be a lot more simple.
Don't get me wrong, it was a brilliant episode. Don't get me wrong for a minute. The first half of the episode was, here's what you do in Audacity when everything goes right, and he just explained it very, very clearly. And then he went on to the section of all the things, you know, here's how to fix the common problems that occur in Audacity to get it working. And it's those ones that are not necessarily Audacity's fault, but, you know, intricacies of your own microphone and everything. And I just think, yeah, I always use Audacity to edit the shows, not a problem there. But and you need that episode in order to fix the issues if they do turn up. So it's a valuable episode. Don't get me wrong. I'm not criticizing the episode. I'm just saying for recording, I found it a lot easier to record on an external device, which is actually why I should be putting together a show how I record my podcasts for HPR.
Please do.
Sure. I think the main thing you want to get out to everyone is do what works for you. There's a lot of different ways to do it. I'm very comfortable using Audacity to do it. So I've got a whole workflow built around it. And, you know, I've turned out 4 shows in a day.
Yeah, that's true. And I think there are more people like that who've got a very good workflow. So use whatever works for you. Correct. The following day, John, cope again with what's in my bag, and he's got a Toshiba satellite running Crunchbang, and he's got a Zoom H1 audio player, which I commend him on carrying around a mobile. And since his show, I've started carrying around a tin box with my Zoom H2 in it. And then we had Mr. Gadgets, who I want to apologize to him for the changes to the FTP server. On two occasions he called in his shows, and on two occasions we had issues. Both of them were down to me that I changed the password and didn't communicate that to K5 Tux, with the who did the who provides the service for us. And then I also we had quota issues where the FTP didn't work, because for once people started uploading shows at the same time, which is the first time that ever happened. So we hit a quota issue, so I fixed that as well. But this was about the Maker Faire in Kansas City, something that I think I'd like to go to, actually.
Yeah, they have them all over. He happens to live in the Kansas City area. But there are Maker Faires in lots of places in the United States, at least. I don't know how many of them have made it to Europe.
I'll have to have a look and see if I know that there's one coming up in Maastricht, because I interviewed a chap about it at OHM 2013. So we'll I need to edit those shows and get them out as well. That's a by the way. Then we had one of the John Culp with the conversations with my Bill and John Culp. And the reason his shows are coming up one after the other is because, hey, no rules apply anymore on scheduling. If you want to put your shows one after the other, then feel free to do so. And this was good because we had two contributors, shooting the breeze and talking about stuff. I love
this
these.
This was the follow-up on Blather, really, because that was most of what they were talking about.
Yeah, true. But a good show nonetheless. The following day, we had How I Got Into Linux. And this was by Esipier. Thank you. Why did I get you to do those? And then, anyway, I also love the show. Not least of which, I again apologies to her for the issues that we had uploading and stuff. And she was recording, don't know if people know this, but she was recording them in the middle of a heat wave and she had issues with sound. But here in HPR, we value content over audio quality. If you can get the audio quality good later, that's fine. But if you can't, we will take the content.
And this is one of our new people, a new host. You know, I don't know that it's required, but it is sort of a tradition that you sort of introduce where you're coming from as one of your shows. I wouldn't have to be Linux. Hacker Public Radio does not restrict itself that way. But
absolutely. So it can be how I got to HPR, basically.
Yeah, or, how I got into computing or, whatever it is that.
Absolutely, absolutely. But it's a good introductory episode, and the what's in my bag or what's my daily carry thing, that's also, then you have two shows out of the way and your workflow is more or less down at that stage, I guess.
No, I enjoyed this show very much. It made me feel nostalgic for the 1960s.
You remember them, didn't you?
Yeah, well.
You know, the saying, if you remember the 60s, you weren't there.
Yeah, true for you.
She was a mainframe programmer using punch cards, she said, so I was quite fascinated with all that stuff.
That sounds like the beginning of a movie. She was the miss. She was.
I'm 62, so my start was with punch cards and mainframes.
Yeah, me too. I'm about the same age. So, yes. I think we should do some shows about the days of punch cards, definitely.
We had when I was in college, we had a CNC machine that was programmed with punch cards. So you wrote your program on one thing and it spat out the punch cards, and then you brought them over to the machine and fed them into it. And a great trick we used to do was shuffle the last four or five cards and put them back in. And the guys would be there, for 4 hours putting spray on as their 3D magic thing was being cut out. And then the last bit.
People have been shot for less than that.
But it was funny.
I've got a stack of punch cards that I actually use for bookmarks, so it would be kind of interesting to hear how folks were using them previously. I'm not old enough to remember it, of course.
Yeah.
Get off my lawn!
Yeah, the trick if you had a deck of punch cards was to get a marker and draw a diagonal line across the top of the deck, because that made it a lot easier to put things back in order.
Yeah, they used to do that as well. We would then put another marker over it.
You were evil.
Well, no, he was just not nice people in the world. And okay, I just happened to be one of them. No, it happened to me as well. Don't think it didn't. And the last one that we're going to cover this month, as the one from last month, was Tim and John, and this is one that you recorded, Dave.
Hmm?
Very, very nice. Very, very cool. Cool show.
I was thinking back. These guys had loads of technical stuff they could have got into, but we were a bit pressed for time, so I didn't feel it was John's last day of his holiday, and I didn't really want to take up big lumps of his time doing that. But he would have been up for talking all about the technical details of making music and so forth.
It's not as if we don't have free slots, Dave.
No. I'm working on that. I'm working on that.
No, it was really cool to hear. It was a nice story. I like the I don't know what we call them, human episodes that we had this month. And there's a good few coming up already in next month as well. In this month, August, coming up in August. So that was it anyway for the shows for this month. Pretty good all round. And the queue can go dry. What was funny about it was, and you can see from the graph, that there was a big spurt at the beginning of the month because I put out a call for shows. And then you see daily for about 3 weeks, it just went straight down. And then we had only 2 shows in the queue, and then whoop, back up to 15 shows again. And it's hovering around about 16, 17 at the minute. Days to the next free slot, which is the big red line. So if we'll just mosey through the queue or the mailing list, which again I didn't get time to add to the other mailing list that we would have a history of it. So we had the community driven schedule is now active, and we're talking about the graph. So I don't know, how are people liking that or not?
I think it's fine. Simple is good. This is very simple. First come, first serve. You got something, throw it up there.
I think it's just the right way to do it. It's amazing it took so long to come up with this idea when you look back at it.
Well, it was a while. Anyway, a lot of things needed to be done to get to, you know, sometimes simplest things take the longest because there's a lot more work involved. There's a bit of work involved in this, and we got to it anyway. So there's a few issues with this, of course, is that the community news has been recorded now, and the next available date for the community news for July will be on the 27th of August. So that's a bit of an issue.
Okay, well, so be it. Thanks.
If you're that keen to hear it, you could always leap ahead and
more about that later.
Okay.
So yes. So then we were low on shows. People gave us shows, so that is pretty cool. There was a little discussion about whether we should have backup shows or not, and Pokey suggested that we make the list visible, and there's now a number at the on the queue page, calendar page. If you scroll down to the bottom, it says there how many shows are in the backup queue. So there are 7 backup shows. There was a discussion about whether we should have any backup shows or not, because I don't want people seeing it as a crutch. So I guess it doesn't really matter.
Well, I know I recorded a couple of backup shows that they weren't really all that important. If they never saw the light of day, no one would mind.
Yeah, and I suppose it doesn't really matter if they're kept on the server or if you're ready to upload them whenever you upload them. So when we're running out of shows, we're running out of shows, basically. That's the way it is.
Yeah.
Then there was the request to put the interview with the Iceland politician parliamentarian, whose name is now going to be read for you by a hookah.
Birgitta Johnsdottir.
How did you get that from J-N-S-T-T-T-I-R?
I assume that the vowels that should have been there got dropped in translation.
Fair enough. That's very impressive. Anyways, and this was a bit unfortunate for me because it seemed like I was picking on DeepGeek, when in fact I'm not. But the point is what we said, and I'll just read from the show note or from the calendar page what it says. We will continue to promote new podcasts and other Creative Commons material, but due to lack of slots, we will only be releasing material exclusively created for HPR. If there is a piece of Creative Commons content you would like to promote, then feel free to record a regular show where you introduce the content, explaining why it is important to provide links so that we can get more information. So that's what I asked to be done. And thankfully, Epicanus was ready and willing to do that for us. And it was, I listened to it anyway on DeepGeek's regular feed and Talkeep to Me News regular feed, which I subscribe to. And if Epicanus hadn't done it, I would have myself.
That's fine.
Then we were mysteriously missing from Google, and of course
that was funny.
That was stupid. Thanks to everybody who helped us out with Google tools and stuff. And as a process of that, right, we were completely visible on Bing. We were completely visible on DuckDuckGo, which is also Bing, but we had completely disappeared from Google and the HPR.com site, which was hijacked, I tell you. Was being ranked number one, and I couldn't figure out why, and then I figured it out because I was blocking the Google bot for doing suspicious activity on the HPR website, like, I don't know, trawling every page. So yes, I'm a moron. But
but that's, Ken, that's the sort of thing every one of us has done, stuff like that. You just laugh at it because you know that it could have been you.
Yes, but we try not to do it as publicly as that. However, what is a good thing is that, and I can't remember his name now, who on the mailing list, who gave me Webmaster Tools, webmasters.com/tools, links in the show notes, and you can go fetch page as Google, and then it became obvious, you know, permission denied, and then permission denied, how is this possible? Oh, yeah. And then suddenly it dawned on me that there was a big long trail in the mailing list. Anyway, we already spoke about the FTP quota issues, but I also wanted to mention that the FTP account password, if anybody wants it and wants to pass it on, feel free to do so. You don't have to wait for us. I don't particularly want it public, but, you know, it is what it is. Oh, and also, I also wanted to mention, and it's not in the show notes, somebody emailed me about the intro and outro being too loud and that it was blasting their eardrums. Yes, it is. I've asked them to get back to me on it. They haven't, but I'll edit that down. If there's anybody who knows of more about this stuff than me, which is pretty much everybody listening, and who wants to edit the intro and outro so that the audio levels are more, make it more consistent, feel free to get in contact with me so we can tweak the transcoding program.
When I did my last show, I noticed that, and I just did negative amplification on them both and then normalized the rest afterwards. Wasn't sure if that was a good thing to do or not, but it seemed to work.
You lost me after show.
Well, you know, basically the issue is you have the intro and outro that you've already recorded that are sitting there, and then people are sending in shows, and each show there's a different amount of gain depending on how the person did it. So if you recorded a show that was very soft because you didn't have a lot of gain, and then you stick to the normal intro and outro, in comparison, it's blasting.
Yeah, no, I get that, but I don't know what we can do. I'm not editing every show. It's going to go through this script.
On my MP3 player, I turned down the volume. at the very beginning and then turn it up as much as I need to when the show starts.
Yeah, I'm going to have a think about this, but just because I happen to be the admin of this thingy for reasons that I'm not 100% sure of myself, that does not in any way mean that I know anything about podcasting or audio. So people feel free to give us tips and tricks on this. All the HPR transcoding stuff is on Gitorious, so it's completely available to you to see how we do this thing. And we're also, some of the shows come in without intros, and some of them people take the intros and outros and add them themselves. So it's kind of a little bit out of our control what we can do on this issue. Anyway, the HPR is joined fourth top Linux podcast, which is actually quite amazing, seeing as we're not necessarily a Linux podcast.
Yeah, that was interesting. I mean, I think we deserve to be there as much as any of the others.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. And I was thinking, oh, this is Linux in the Shell, but then Linux in the Shell was listed on also one, so we won twice. So that's pretty awesome. And one thing that became apparent when I was looking at that and looking at why Google has banned us from the internet, and I was thinking, yeah, it's because we don't have our own Wikipedia page, which is also true. We don't have our own Wikipedia page. And of course, we will never have a Wikipedia page because anybody who listens to HPR is required to send us in a show. And if you're then sending us in a show, you're a contributor to HPR and you can't edit a Wikipedia page. So on one hand, I'm hoping we never do have a Wikipedia page because then we'll have contributors. And on the other hand, we were never going to have one, which makes me sad because we're actually been running long enough. We've been running since before that software patent thing came in. And we're one of the podcasts over there now listed as having prior art for that software patent.
Right. Good.
So, then we had Frank Bell's HPR Lug presentation, and we've already discussed that a little bit. So then the Sonar project donations, I finally got the stickers in. Kevin Wisher donated some cash to get stickers and the like, and I got loads of them, and I gave loads of them away at OHM 2013, and I only have a few books left. But I think everybody should have their thingies by now. Did everybody here get their stickers?
Not yet, but maybe it'll be today's mail. Who knows?
Dave, I know you got them.
Yes. I got a blank card with with some stickers on it, much to the puzzlement of everybody in the house.
Yeah, and because I wrote the address on the back of the stickers and gave it to your man, and he goes, no, they have to be on a postcard size. So I went and got some blank postcards, and then, I'm not rewriting the addresses, so I stuck them on. I stuck the back of the stickers on so that to the blank card, and I handed it to the guy, and he looks at me going, what is he doing? Okay, fine. And then I found out that it was as cheap to send a letter. So I think, Kevin, your one might actually be in an envelope, but we'll see.
Okay. Yep.
I hope like the NSA haven't like stopped it because it's suspicious. You know, is there cocaine in here at the back? And it's coming from an undisclosed address in Amsterdam. You know. So we'll see. I haven't heard from any of the US folks whether it's got through or not. So there we go. And yes, there is no You Owe Me a Show list, folks. There isn't. Not at all. None. This list does not exist. Just clearly.
We'll just shame you publicly, that's all.
No. However, those who have released shows in the last year are definitely not on the list. So there you go. But that list, of course, doesn't exist. Then we had the HPR mailing RSS feed was just updated last night, which is why I'm wrecked tired today. And you can do such interesting stuff as filter explicit, non-explicit content by using explicit equals zero. Thanks, Dave, for spotting that one. And if you put explicit equals one, that doesn't mean you're going to get porn. It just means you're going to get regular shows, yeah. Because some people, like myself, don't like to say what is explicit or not, because that is very culturally dependent on where you are. But I can understand those that do. And if you fall under the iTunes definition of clean, then and you feel you do in all jurisdictions, then you can say when you upload it that it's clean. And then they can be filtered out, and they're used by certain people to... that sounds... They're used by certain people. They're used by HPR contributors who then will broadcast those episodes over FM or local in-house radio stations and stuff like that, which is kind of cool and awesome, really.
I was kind of amused that when last year when you interviewed me for Ohio Linux Fest, that became explicit. I wonder if that gives me street cred or something.
Everything I do becomes explicit because it is such a part of Irish culture to use profanity, or what other cultures would consider profanities. Yet there are, of course, words that we would never use in public either, which other people do. So, like fanny pack, you would never say that in Ireland.
Well, yeah.
So, there you go. However, words, you choose to be offended by them or not. So, then we have the Go Max option, which was promised, long promised to Dude Man. And that is now quite easy because all the shows are posted and they get the show numbers. So as soon as the show is posted, it will be available if you put in Go Max equals one. It will not put in the, it will remove the feature that we have that only displays shows that are posted today or older. So that's what that one does. Another one that was requested was to get all Klaatu shows. So you can just put in host ID equals and whatever the ID of the host is. And that will come up. You can get those IDs from the correspondence.php page. And you can also do the same thing for the series, which is something that I will probably be adding to your one as well, your series on LibreOffice, Ahuka.
Oh, okay.
So just make it easier for people if they want to download the entire series. Sure. You can then put in series equals blah, and then that will also restrict it to the last 10 episodes. So if you did want to subscribe to just that series on a different podcast feeder, then the podcast feeder would download those. But if you wanted to pull the whole whack in, you can put in the series and then use the full limit equals and then 1,000, or you could use the full equals one option, which will display, you know, it removes the filtering of 10. So that's that kind of gives a little bit more flexibility. I'm thinking about the series. You know, I've started several series and they just kind of petered out, and then I think a lot of other people has done that as well. So it might be better for those ones to, you know, put them as more a hashtag type concept, so that we limit the number of series that there are to, you know, ongoing full, you know, full series either that are open or closed. Like the I'd like to make the How I Got Into Linux to be a dedicated series, because it obviously is now. Your one to be a dedicated series, Linux in the Shell, a dedicated series, ones that are even closed, like Klaatu's Urban Camping series, the, you know, best known HPR series, that as a series, and then other open ones that are mostly Klaatu's, but I think other people have contributed to them, like the networking series, so that... kind of more defined, and then the other ones that have only one or two that have kind of stopped, or maybe like All Songs Considered was quite popular, but now that there's other CC Hates and other Creative Commons podcasts, perhaps they don't need to be series anymore, or it's been a while since the series ones are there. But if you want to do a series yourself, feel free to do so. Just mosey over to the series page and have a look, and you can contribute to some of those series. And that's all I have to say about that. One thing I will ask you to do is if is on the limit equals and setting it to a large number, or going the full equals one, that puts a lot of strain on the server because it needs to generate this every time. So feel free, if you're downloading, for example, Ahuka's LibreOffice series, then feel free to do that to catch up, but then switch it off afterwards. You know, and you can also set the limit equals three or something, and then regular podcatchers will happily go and get that, and that comes back with a fairly quick response. But I would also recommend just using the three regular feeds that are on the main page, because we can do caching and stuff with those. If you do exotic sort of things with the feed RSS feed link, then you know we're not going to be able to cache those, and there'll be database hits every time. Yes, so I think we've covered that. So rss.php ?go max=1 ampersand full equals one is like the full Monty, everything past, present, and future. Then you can use the ampersand limit equals 100 to limit that to the last 100 shows. Host ID equals 78 will give you clatoos. And then series equals 67 will give you Linux in the shell. So that's pretty much it. Let's see what else we have. Then if you go to hackerpublicradio.org/stats.php, you will see that HPR started 7 years, 6 months, 22 days ago, the project, and it was renamed HPR 5 years, 3 months, 29 days ago. Total number of shows is 16,685 shows. And we have 159 HPR hosts. There are 17 free slots. Sorry, the next free slot is in 17 days. There are 9 hosts who have contributed shows in the queue, giving a 2-to-1 ratio, more or less. And there are 18 shows in the queue. And that was HPR Community News from me.
Don't really have anything to add here.
Nothing to add here.
Whole lot of nothing in my corner either.
Well, yeah. It's now traditional that we all sing the free software song. Join us now and share the software. Nobody? Nobody?
I don't know the free software song.
Oh, you don't know?
I don't want to know the free software song.
Who doesn't know the free software song? Come on! Anyway, folks, tune in tomorrow for another exciting episode of
Hacker Public Radio.
All right, let us do that again. And I will type it in the chat. Tune in tomorrow for another exciting episode of
Hacker Public Radio.
See you later, folks. Thank you.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever considered recording a podcast, then visit our website to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club. HPR is funded by the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. All BinRev projects are proudly sponsored by Lunar Pages. From shared hosting to custom private clouds, go to lunarpages.com for all your hosting needs. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license.